Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific, a full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the host, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of this society or any members for this society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
About me all the time. They always in my business seem to I'm about to lose my mind, yeah. And though it seems I'm acting funny, man, excuse me, but don't diss me, cause I'm going through some things, yeah, yeah.
Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I'm going through some changes. My life is rearranged, yeah. Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I said I won't complain. I'm going through some.
Here I lost my dad. I can't believe he thought he was the best friend that I had.
Oh,
yeah. And
yeah.
I hope I don't disturb you, man. Excuse me, but don't diss me, cause I'm going through some things, yeah, yeah.
Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I'm going through some changes. My life is rearranged, yeah. Please excuse me, cause I'm going through some things. I say I won't complain.
Yeah, 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 yeah. numbers tripping. My child support is here. And my life bill is too.
I'm going through some pain.
Recession's got a grip. I've got to pay these bills, yeah.
Right here in the West Texas, beautiful, hot, really hot West Texas, 96 degrees outside here, with mostly clear skies. Hi, I'm Black Ice. Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And heard Thursdays right here on Blog Talk Radio, 7 until 8:30 p.m. And we'd like to invite you to give us a call if you find anything that you have a reason to that you would like to discuss or bring to the forefront. Please feel free to do so. The number to call us, 347-945-7040. And going through some things, I was just thinking about the press conference that President Obama had the other day, and it was really, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to it, but you know, the thing that I'm really so impressed with, starting off tonight, talking about our president, President Barack Hussein Obama. Our president addressed so many different issues with such an eloquence and sophistication that it has to be frightening to his opponents. It has to really put a real strong fear in the strike of fear in the hearts of those who might feel as though that he is in some way inadequate, because to me the guy is just purely tremendously phenomenal. And you know, a lot of people refer to him as one adjective or another. For instance, quote unquote, the first black president. Whatever. He's the president of the United States, 44th president of the United States, 43 prior to him, President Barack Hussein Obama, a phenomenal and formidable figure. And as evidence of that, we saw a thing occur, I think, today on MSNBC with one of the more well-known talking heads. I can't remember. What's this guy? Mark Halperin. You know, I did a blog on this guy. You know, I do a little tiny blog on occasion. And I can't remember when this was, back a couple months ago, maybe. And I'll share this with you. What I was talking about was, I got a chance to watch this guy on, I think it might have been Face the Nation, I'm not sure, but it'll tell you here in a minute. At that time, they were discussing Newt Gingrich, who was, you know, as listed as Sarah Palin initially, as, you know, Donald Trump, you know, and they keep bringing him on, the front runner after front runner, and they keep falling by the wayside. And it's not due to trickery. It's not due to deception. These guys absolutely represent a bankrupt ideology. Bankrupt ideology. Their idea, in my opinion, is to perpetuate the myth that they, for some reason, are superior in intellect to anyone just by virtue of the fact that they're breathing and living. You know, they seem to think that there are some phenomenally gifted and talented individuals. And, you know, if you listen to these guys and you look at them, they're so arrogant. you know, the talking heads on corporate media. The way I spell corporate media is K-K-K-O-R-P-E-R-A-T-E, corporate media. And these guys have to perpetuate that image because they've done it for so long, they're totally dependent psychologically and emotionally on it. And it would be a total embarrassment if they were ever to begin to speak on the realities, which are that there are individuals of different ethnic backgrounds, different colors, different cultures, who are talented, very, very talented, and who can eclipse any one of those guys' talents with a tremendous amount of effort. But anyway, I wrote this blog, and I'm going to share it with you. I mean, this particular thought that I had going through my head, and it says, "Can you love a newt?" I had a chance to watch Newt Gingrich this week on Meet the Press. Not only was the interview extremely revealing from my perspective, it was extremely bizarre. Then there were these gropers, who they called media analysts. I call them gropers because they were groping for accolades to heap on the Newtster. They struggled to find enough praise to hurl toward him. This freak named Mark Halperin looked so damn serious as he complimented, and I spell that K-K-K-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T-E-D, on the growth Newt had made in his career as a politician. Halperin did all he could to define the white male aspects of the Newtster. He spoke of Newt's introspection, Newt's academic accomplishment, Newt's appeal to the K-K-K-O-N-S-E-R-V-A-T-I-V-E, conservative electorate. Then, and as predictable, the K-K-K-O-N-V-E-R-S-A-T-I-O-N, the conversation turned immediately toward President Obama's unelectability. Halperin, again, K-K-K-O-N-T-R-I-B-U-T-E-D, contributed that the president's inability to compete in the red states would have a great impact on his reelection chances. The corporate media has placed all its eggs for the 2012 presidential election against President Obama in one basket. How much they can accentuate his negatives. And trust me, they are K-K-K-O-M-I-T-T-E-D, K-O-M-M-I-T-T-E-D, to doing all they can to defeat this president. My assessment of their motivation is that they have many vested interests in this election, most surrounding the indoctrination they have from generations of white supremacy model. And I don't usually use the term white supremacy because to me the two words don't need to go together. There's nothing white about supreme. There's nothing supreme about white. It's just a color like any other color. So I hear a lot of people talking about white supremacy, and I just kind of draw back from that. But anyway, I used it because it contextualizes a lot of the sentiments that a lot of people have. Generations of the white supremacy model. I can never again trust corporate media since I began to notice they hardly have any diversity among their white analysts. All or most of their analysts have a unilateral perspective on which to analyze, the white perspective. White women, white boys, and all these white people have one objective primarily, and that is to defend the white perspective. They have no other vantage point. They have to defend their intellectual foundation raised by other white people with white skin in a white-friendly environment, never able to take a critical introspective assessment of themselves. What allows any other individual to have access to KKK corporate media is simply to concur with a white male-friendly conclusions. It is not interesting that, isn't it interesting that 43 prior presidents were in office before these crises occurred? And the one president elected who was denied as a black American has been saddled with all the blame. The corporate media does this so casually without losing a beat. They've rehearsed their prejudices for so long, it's just second nature to attack with total preparation the accomplishments of a president who is defined as a black American. I have observed that the Republicans spell REPUBLIEKKKONS are a group that invests tremendous and copious amounts of energy in technology. They seek technical advantages through utilizing ploys such as abortion, class warfare in the form of immigration issues, issues to do with cutting services for the most vulnerable among us, including children, women, and the elderly, also students and those individuals who have chronic and even potentially terminal health issues. They sought to destroy resources. They sought to destroy those who oppose them by attacking educators and educational resources, organized citizens groups, commonly referred to as unions, legally established groups of people who, in order to defend themselves against what they determine as governmental excesses that place them in precarious situations, they would find common ground and use nonviolent measures as a way to protest many decisions that threaten their middle-class existence. Interestingly enough, when I mention middle-class existence, that includes families who are losing their transportation, shelter, insurance, and many families also their sustenance, literally. Food banks are stretched, and all of the time millionaire individuals, as well as corporations, refuse to lend any assistance by minuscule increases in tax rates. How many millions and billions does it take to feel accomplished? Or are they addicted to their financial positions, like addicts craving and fiending to keep their multi-million-dollar annual incomes, even at the potential demise of the majority of citizens of America, the very citizens who give their lives in wars while the wealthy children stay home and collect their dividend payments and enjoy the luxuries of their trust funds? Now, this I wrote a couple months ago or so about Mark Halperin. And then I was noticing the day I was, like, at work, and I was listening to the radio, and this is the story. I found it in the Loop 21. MSNBC analyst Mark Halperin suspended for calling President Obama a male, sex organ on air. I mean, is that not audacious? Is that not the epitome almost of arrogance? And he sits with the Joe Scarboroughs, the Chris Matthews's, and these guys pat each other on the back and promote each other as if they're pristine and totally candid and unbiased and objective in their assessments. And this guy calls the President of the United States of America, Barack Obama, who took over a failing economy, job losses at around $780,000 a month, who was thrust immediately into having to put forth a budget that cut several billion dollars off the budget previously submitted by George Bush, with the Wall Street in a state of disarray, the auto industry in a state of disarray. I mean, he inherited a mess, and this guy, who's a commentator at best, a commentator, a quote-unquote highly esteemed journalist, this guy calls the President of the United States a male sex organ on the air. And this is, I guess, in the earshot of children and ladies. And this is the guy that they've held up. So he's been suspended. Let's see, it says MSNBC Political. And this story, by the way, was written by Maurice Garland, the loop21.com, Thursday, 6:30, 2011, at 10:21 a.m. MSNBC political analyst Mark Halperin has been suspended indefinitely after calling President Obama a male sex organ during this morning's episode of quote-unquote Morning Joe. And I call him Hillbilly Joe Scarborough. And I'm telling you, Chris Matthews makes me absolutely beside myself. Anyway, the comment came as he was attempting to share his feelings about Obama. Obama's press conference briefly yesterday afternoon. To his credit, he did ask show producers if they had the 7-second delay going before he blurted, "I thought he was a male sex organ yesterday." What he didn't realize was that the show's new executive producer did not know how to work the 7-second delay button. Womp womp. Of course, like most people do, he offered a sincere. Can you imagine? Oh, it was a sincere. Oh, I was just playing. This is what these dudes do when they get caught. Oh, I was just playing. When the show returned from a commercial, can you imagine a brother saying that about George Bush as a news, supposedly unbiased, impartial news announcer? Can you imagine a brother saying that? Anyway, joking aside, this is an absolute apology. I shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have. You should have thought about it before you said it. I apologize to the president. Yes, sure you do. And the viewers who heard me say that, who heard him. He only apologizes to the ones that heard him say it. He said with the straightest face possible, I'm sure he did. Do you think Obama was being a blank yesterday? It's okay. We can't fire you for saying so in the comments. You know, after, you know, what you know, 180 or 200 years of slavery, I mean, what does it take for these guys to feel comfortable, to feel confident that that they can handle the situation without reverting to such low-budget, low-class remarks about the President of the United States of America? What in the good name of the world? When will these guys get enough confidence? When, I mean, you know, is it will it take, you know, cutting every funding for the students, cutting off the food for the children in school, and kicking out the parents in the street? When do they get enough confidence that they feel so confident that they don't have to use these slurs? And you know, I was listening to Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews has a little commercial on, and he uses a statement that drives me crazy. It literally just really has a profound adverse effect on me. And he says, the president, he's mixed. And I'm like, what is the opposite of mixed? Pure? So I guess if President Obama is mixed, Chris Matthews must be pure. I guess that's what he's trying to say. Pure what? Chris Matthews hadn't been elected to office. Chris Matthews only gives his opinion like Mark Halperin, Joe Scarborough, and the rest of these guys. This man's, like he said, you know, where are you, Congressman? You know, this is what President Obama said during his press conference. I was fortunate enough to hear part of it. And he's like, where are you guys? I've been in Afghanistan. I've been doing stuff. And you can't even get together and address the idea of this budget, this ceiling, you know, deficit, the debt ceiling. And he's there working on it, and these guys are getting ready to take another vacation. And what's being promoted now, what you'll hear a lot of, I'm sure, is you're going to hear a lot of, the president has to own this economy. The president didn't initiate this economy. He inherited this economy. When Bush took office, Bush had a surplus. And I say Bush, just like they say Obama. When Bush inherited, when he took over from President Clinton, Bush inherited a surplus, budget surplus. In 8 years, he handed President Obama a deficit of around, I think, if I'm not mistaken, $11 trillion, something like that, with an economy in total disarray and spiraling down, with the only thing that was going up was the unemployment rate. No manufacturer, no way to build yourself out of this situation. The only thing that you could do in all probability and possibility would be, I'm assuming, is to ask the manufacturers, ask the corporations, would you please start hiring people? And these guys don't want to see President Obama succeed. I mean, why would they? You know, this would impugn all of their selection process for selecting chairmen of their boards. I mean, now I'm sure that they'd feel comfortable with a Herman Cain or maybe a Judge Clarence Thomas or somebody like that, or maybe a Michael Steele or Kevin, whatever his name, Blackman, you know, but not a President Obama. I mean, you know, because President Obama doesn't represent the bow down, bend over, and kiss your rear end kind of brother. You know, he stands up and he tells it as it is. And for that, he's being attacked by every quarter. He's being attacked from the liberal left, the quote-unquote progressives, the LGBT crowd. He's being attacked by the Republican Party, and especially the Koch brothers and Karl Rove. And if you want to know what my opinion of Karl Rove is, which you didn't ask, but I will gladly provide it for you, Karl Rove is doing everything he can do to keep from being investigated. For President Obama, this economy to turn around and start growing, the American public to finally really realize that it wasn't President Obama and the Democratic Party that put us in the position that we're in. For us to find ourselves in a position where that we can begin to grow out of this economy would mean that it would mean that the world pretty much, at least all the registered voters, would have to just come to the realization that the President of the United States, who is President Barack Hussein Obama, has been a phenomenal asset to America, and as such, allow this guy to do the work that needs to be done and to support him. But how in the world could you ever do that without destabilizing your whole prior psychological foundation? Because in most of the guys that I've been associated with or had an opportunity to have a discussion with, on a level, seem as though they feel that there is something inferior about President Barack Hussein Obama. They feel they look for any discrepancy, any fallacy, any fault, anything that would tend to lend the person to believe that this guy was inept and inadequate. Yeah, and when you think about it, honestly, when you stop and think about it, this man is, to me, and I mean, just I can be a little bit objective about this in a way. This guy is a phenomenal guy. I mean, he's blessed, he's gifted. You know, that's all I can say about it. And so many other people, it seems to me, have negative feelings about it, because it would give so many of us, so many people, a positive sense of self-esteem that would allow people to begin to take some deep breaths and to feel confident in their ability to begin to accomplish things that were prior to now almost unimaginable. And what I'm saying is, not only would it allow people of African descent to be motivated and uplifted by virtue of that, other people, other ethnic, other cultural, and all cultural groups actually should take part in the celebration of an individual who is articulate, who is a successful and a leader. But no, you're going to have this crowd of people who, for whatever reason, feel as though that any brother just going to get straight down to it. I mean, you know, I can beat around the bush and I can cut a few corners, but I'm going to just get straight down to it. People that would have any brother, because, you know, that would have their children look at a brother and feel good about him and feel comfortable that he has an ability. And it's hard for a guy, I'm sure, that's been raised with such hatred and to be so so dismissive of other people's accomplishments, to accept and just to stand up and be a man. Because to me, being a man is having the ability to appreciate another brother for his accomplishments, regardless to what his ethnic origin or what his you know, even political persuasion is. I've yet to find any Republican that I have any respect for, because to me, any Republican that would have any respect for himself would ask David Vitter to resign, to step down, to not bring the kind of to not lower the essence and the significance of his Senate seat because of the activities and behaviors that he had involved himself in. Because but you see, a selective it's being selective in regard to you know, David Vitter. Now, Mr. Weiner, oh, you know, he was a total disaster. He never involved himself with any other individual, only himself, for whatever reason. But Mr. Vitter not only had a desire, he actually acted on it. He involved and engaged himself in some very salacious, is that a good word, behavior patterns with some individuals that he would probably castigate. And not only that, there were some cover-ups, and as a matter of fact, there was a death involved. But we don't want to discuss that. We don't want to talk about that, Mr. Ensign and all these different guys, you know. But what it boils down to is that a man is a man. A man is a quote unquote man. Period. And as always, I'd like to share with you this: the opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson himself in 1776, states as follows: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." You know, I like to read it because I've had arguments with brothers that tell me, brothers that say, his stuff, and he say, "Hey, man, you know, back then we were 3/5. Or back then we were not considered to be men. We weren't, you know." I want to read this again, and you, whomever hears it, the opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, 4th of July, coming up, 4th of July, all around the country. Picnics in the park celebrating the independence of the United States of America. The opening of the United States Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson himself in 1776, states as follows: "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. So don't get mad at me. Get mad at Thomas Jefferson. All men. Now, if you want to define, it's not a man. It's not a brain thing that makes you a man. It's not a behavior pattern that makes you a quote unquote a man. It's your structure anatomically. All men, period. You know, and as I was listening to a show today, this guy was saying that today was the day that Dred Scott initiated his suit, I think, against the wherever, I can't remember where it was, but he initiated a suit that he, since he was, this is how tedious and this is how frivolous and sick, sad, and pathetic this crap is. You know, well, since I was in a free state, then I should be a free man. Why in the heck would you need to even express that to a individual who can simply read it as it's stated, that all men are created equal? Oh, well, we set you, you didn't set me crap, nothing. You didn't give me any. Oh, well, the 14th Amendment, you didn't give me squat. You know? So don't walk around beating your chest and popping your spinners in your collar and dusting the dusting your shoulders off. You didn't do squat. Nothing did you do. It said it very plainly in the Declaration of Independence. All men are created equal. All you ever did was to live up to the damn law that you've been reading and talking about and celebrating all your life. So, you know, so don't give me this crap. You know, like I'm supposed to be, oh, thank you, hell with you, in that kind of attitude. I don't know, you know, anyway, I got off on the wrong foot today. But I was so disgusted and disappointed. No, I wasn't. I was affirmed when I saw that about, because I guarantee you, if you look on my little Blogspot thing that I got, I put that in there some weeks ago about Mark Halperin. I'm going to tell you, you're going to hear something about Chris Matthews. I'm telling you, any guy that can get on TV and play this over and over, well, Obama comes from a mixed background. Mixed? What the hell are you talking about? Mixed? A human is not mixed with anything but another human. He ain't mixed with an animal. He's not mixed with an alien, a Martian, a Vulcan, whatever, a Uranium, whatever, Saturnian, whatever. He's not mixed with a damn thing but another human being. Mixed. What the hell? What's the opposite of mixed? Pure? What do you mean, Chris Matthews? You're supposed to be so smart, Chris Matthews. You know, you're supposed to be represent so many people. Oh, I'm Irish and blonde hair, blue eyes. You know, what the hell? Mixed. What the hell are you talking about? Mixed. Mixed with another human being. Another human being. Period. So how in the hell is that mixed? Okay, I'll give you an example of mixed. I'll give you an example. Your daddy was a man. Your mama was a woman, so you're a mixed gender. That's how much sense you make. Stupid. I mean, just, and he just plays it over and over like he's just really, oh, Obama. And then I listened to Warren Ballantyne, and he plays where Chris Matthews is going. Yeah, Obama, he makes you forget that he was black. Why did you have to remember? Why is that essential? If all men are created equal, Mr. Matthews, if you believe in the 4th of July and the flute and the drummer and the whatever else the little dude was doing, the flag waving guy with the stockings and all this here, the three prong hat, if you believe in all that kind of stuff, Mr. Matthews, what I strongly suggest to you is that you read that Declaration of Independence and you try to tell me how in the heck you can justify calling the President of the United States, not the Senator, not a House of Representatives, not an Attorney General, the President of the United States mixed. Now, hell you think you are. I'm telling you. But anyway, let me, I'm sorry, I just digress. But I just got off on that today for some reason, and it just really tore me up when I saw that about Mark Halperin. And I'm thinking about President Obama talks about his girls. You know, I can't, Malia and Sasha, I think, if I don't get that all messed up. But you know what I mean? Why in the world? You know, my grandkids, what do I have to do? Bow down to you for my, I tell my grandkids, you don't owe anybody, not one thing do you owe anybody. My kids, you don't owe them nothing. These fools walk around and they want to tear your house or drag you behind a car, hang you up in a tree like some dogs, like some vicious animals, and then want you to have some respect ethically, morally, spiritually. I'd be goddamn. You need to talk to somebody else, not me. I'm not the one, but this is just one of those days for me. I'm sorry. It's almost the 1st of July. Three days. Oh, happy birthday, Miss So Sexy Memphis. And Miss Lacey, your birthday's coming up. Happy birthday to everybody that's got birthdays in July. Happy birthday to you. God bless you. And there was a story also in here that I'm going to get off on, and then I'm going to back up for a few minutes. Found this in the Huffington Post. It says Huffington Post women. Wow, I didn't even know that was where I found this at. Texas mom Rosalinda Gonzalez sentenced for spanking. Spanking children is a long-time hot-button issue for parents, but a Texas court just sent a warning to parents with a spare-the-rod, spoil-the-child mentality to change their ways. Rosalinda Gonzalez was sentenced to 5 years probation after pleading guilty to the charge of injury of a child for spanking her, then a nearly two-year-old daughter. Yeah. The Corpus Christi mom of three reached an agreement with prosecutors requiring her to take parenting classes and pay a $50 fine to the Children's Advocacy Center, reports this KZTV10. I guess they're in Corpus Christi. And by the way, let me see who wrote this story. Doesn't say. Doesn't give me any information. It says first posted on the 20th of June at 12:46, updated 6:20 at 12:46. But anyway, the Corpus Christi mom of three, okay. You don't spank children today, said Judge Jose Longoria. In the old days, maybe, we got spanked, but there was a different quarrel. You don't spank children. According to KZTV 10, Gonzalez was arrested last December after the child's grandmother noticed the red marks on the girl's behind and took her to the local children's hospital to get checked out. Gonzalez currently does not have custody of her three children, doesn't have custody. Who will remain with their paternal, paternal grandmother until Department of Family and Protective Services agrees she is ready. The Department of Family and Protective Services. Is that the same family that didn't check that guy out that had kidnapped that girl that raped her and had two children by her? Department of Family and Protective Services. But they are not. They said that who will remain with the parental grandmother until the Department of Family Protective Services agrees she is ready to have them back. Courts across the country and beyond seem to be getting tougher on spanking, especially when the child isn't your own. In April, 67-year-old James Freeman was sentenced to 1 month in jail and 11 months probation for spanking a two-year-old who tore up plants in his yard and ignored his orders to stop. And in the seemingly more serious case, the Calgary Appeals Court in Calgary, Canada, decided a two-year probation sentence was inappropriate for Mark Anthony Harris, who was convicted for assault with a weapon after he spanked a 9-year-old daughter with a belt. The appeals court ruled that Harris should have 9 months of jail time instead. 9 months of jail time for giving a spanking with a belt. So don't know how you feel about that. But if you feel like it and you're listening, give us a call, 347-945-7040. You know, when you think about it, with the incarceration rate so high, I mean, there. Let me say it this way. I was raised by my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and they both had to have full-time jobs. So I was left kind of alone in certain instances during my life. There was, you know, staggered. One would be one place and then leave, you know, get a chance to come home, and the other one would have a chance to go do whatever, whatever, whatever. But let me just say, they couldn't be there with me all the time. And they had to use a method to deter me from finding myself involved in some behavior that could have one either been life-threatening or put me in a situation that I would have been I could have been arrested or whatever. And I appreciate, I never forget, my grandmother, I can't remember the year that she passed away. She was 74 years old, and she had cancer. And I went down to see her, and I called my mom, and I told her, "Mom, you need to come on down." My mom was like, "I'm coming." I said, "No, you need to come down right now, pretty quick." And I was, after I hung up, I was in there talking to my grandma. She was laying on the bed. Her stomach was distended. Her arms were really thin, and she was panting with her eyes open, and she couldn't say anything to me. And I was holding her hand. And I told her, I said, "Well," I said, "you can't whip me anymore." And boy, the tears began to roll down my face, because that old lady kept me, I'm 59 years old, and I still remember things that she told me back years and years ago. It's not that I haven't done anything that shouldn't have had me arrested or even potentially in the ground with dirt thrown on my face. But by her commitment and determination, as well as my grandmother, my mom, my aunt, and all the other neighbors that were involved in beating my butt, you know, it was a benefit, and I greatly appreciate it. There's been a lot of things good things that have come from it. And I tell my kids, I say, "You're raising your grandkids when you actually raise your children. You're raising your grandkids, because what you tell them is what they're going to pass on generationally." And, you know, you have to, in my opinion, have some boldness and confidence, because, you know, if you tell your kids, you know, then your kids are going to be, that's going to be their reason for not succeeding. But when you tell, in my opinion, when you tell your kids, "Hey, you get out and you handle your business, stay out of trouble, do what you have to do, make your commitment." You know, like my granddaughter, thank the good Lord, my oldest one, graduated this year from high school. And that's 12 years of commitment, 12 years. She didn't want to get up. "I don't want to go to school." "Get up. You got to go." "I'm having a hard time in class." "I don't care." You know, everybody, you know, generally in the family, we all understand. And it's like, you got to do it. And it's going to be that way until I lose all my breath and I'm out of here. And I hope that they have it instilled in them to keep that going on. You know, you get out there and you fight. You do what you have to do. Don't get obsessed. You know, don't get whacked out you know, all antsy. Just be clearly deliberate, determined, committed, focused, and tenacious, and do what you have to do. Do what you have to do. And if it's studying, if it's spending that midnight oil, do it. You know, and my grandsons and sons, pull your pants up. You're not Lil Wayne. You don't have Lil Wayne's money. So don't be trying to act like Lil Wayne. You know, my daughter teaches school, and she told me, this one little kid that was in the school, she told him, "Pull your pants up." He was like, I saw Lil Wayne, and she said, you got Lil Wayne's money? You know? And it's a sad shame. I saw Lil Wayne on BET, you know? And the cat is phenomenal. I mean, I am totally, I admire the dude for where he's come from to where he is today. Because it traps so many of us to come from those humble beginnings and those really horrendous situations and precarious situations. And the brother just, he kept stroking, kept striving, and, you know, fortunately he was put in a position where that he could use his talents. And he's used them. And now, you know, he is anti-authority. I mean, how much more anti-authority could you be than to have your pants down, more or less saying, here you go, you know, get you a smooch, because I got several million, and I don't need your approval. I don't need your acceptance when I put in a job application. Would you please hire me? No, he doesn't have to do that. But there are those youngsters out there who have to do that. They have to pull their pants up, because that guy is, and this right now is an employer's market. What that is, it means that they can pick and choose, as they always have, actually. You know, they can pick and choose. You know, well, I don't like the way you, in which that's always been the case. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you smell. I don't like the way you walk. I don't like the way you talk. So what are your options? Number one option is school, right? So you want to get stay in school. You want to encourage people. I would assume I do, to stay in school. And although I know that school is a system, and I really reject the word racist, because we're human beings. It's a colorist thing. It's a thing about people who have such a preoccupation, a psychosis about color. And it's understandable because, you know, there was just like guys on my job. I've been on my job almost 35 years, 34, 33, something like that. And dudes that work, I work for a company, major company, and there were guys that were contractors that would come up to me, how'd you get this job, you know? Or some other guy, well, my brother-in-law, he was needing a job. How did, you know, I'm like, so what? Like, tell that other boy over there that he got your brother-in-law's job. Don't tell me squat, son. Don't talk to me about whose job. You know, because number one job is J-O-B, just over broke. But the point of it is that we owe nobody nothing. We get out here and we bust it. And we as people of color are we had the highest unemployment rate. So then what do we do? Well, what do you think we can do? Well, you go to the corporate structure, in which Lil Wayne bypassed the corporate structure, but because he had some skills that he could market that would put him in a position of financial security. And so, you know, what I have to do is to develop those skills, or I either go the conventional route, and, you know, that's to, do whatever the education thing is and seek some employment, either that or become an entrepreneur, you know, and that is attainable, in my opinion. But if you associate yourself with people who continually tell you, well, you could, white bear versus white spirit, you know, then that's what you are what you eat. As a man thinketh, so is he. And if you continue to put that in your mind, oh, I can't bend it, well, then you don't have a reason to be aggressive and assertive and determined and committed and forceful and straightforward. Yeah, just sit there and you know, find you another buddy that's like you and tell him, you know, and y'all sit there together. I don't want to talk to you. Not that I'm better than you. I'm just different. You know, I'd rather go and talk to somebody and say, well, how in the heck did you, you know, and then learn that. I already know that other stuff. I can sit there and talk with you. I could tell you, you know, every reason in the world, you know. But what to me, what we have to do, if we can be a little Wayne, whatever the talent is that we have, we got to wear that talent out, whatever that talent is. And so, you know, I see a lot of people, they well, Lil Wayne got his pants down. Well, if Lil Wayne has his pants down, that gives me a perfect opportunity to sit down with my my little offspring and grandkids and say, you know, what do you think about that boy with his pants down? Oh, it looks kind of cool. And then I get a chance to offer my opinion that it's not, it's cool if you can back it up. It's cool if you got the clout, if you got that limo, if you got that mansion, if you got those financial resources coming in. Otherwise, you're going to have to find your different route. But no matter which way you go, always remember.
Chocolate Nips, host of Nips Poetic Nooks on PowTalk.com.
Uncle Otis never did anything wrong in my eyes. In my eyes was a man that so many others despised. The liquor was just medicine for an aching soul. Him my mother used to scold. And he knew he could find comfort in my innocent smile.
He was a torn man.
I guess I was the only one who truly understood him. Somewhere deep in his heart he felt that I was the only one who loved him. He was a torn man, thrown into his life by so many wailing winds, and he flew with each and every one of them.
Uncle Otis never did anything wrong in my eyes.
Uncle Otis made me smile, made tears roll from my eyes when his jokes arrived. He was me and I was him in so many ways. Something happened that had to have followed him to his grave.
The liquor was just medicine for an
He could sing songs and memorize each note, play any instrument with the force of a complete symphony. But he never dreamed. So I would often close my eyes and envision him on the bandstand at Minton's, or bopping at the Blue Note, finding the crevices in between the half notes, looking for ways to dream up new realities, because I wanted him to dream so badly.
He was me and I was him.
We would walk along Hunter Street, and he would teach me the history of my people. His knowledge was so complete, so deep, but his desire was so very weak, weakened by the times in which he lived. So I would take time to create memories for him, listen to his sad songs and fold his fedora's brim, drunk from the constant need to salve his emotional wounds. He would sleep in my room, fighting drunken tears, and I would try so hard to take away his yesteryears, but he, Uncle Otis, never. But I tried so hard to cry for him. The night someone took his babies away from him was the beginning of his demise. I never saw his eyes cry, but somehow I knew there was a wailing going on inside, and he would drink away the pain. One day, on a sunny Sunday afternoon, there he sat underneath partly clouded skies. Against a pine tree he rested his weary soul, painting pictures in his head. So I sat right beside him, wrapped my tiny arms around him so I could join him on his journey. He talked about how far the clouds were away, how blue the sky this day.
His knowledge was so complete,
and how deep
so
the
deep.
Dream he'd never dreamt. Across his lap I laid and listened to his jew's harp as he played. Now here I am, fighting to live the dream, trying so hard to show Uncle Otis that he lives through me. Uncle Otis played but never dreamed. Uncle Otis never did anything wrong in my eyes, but in the eyes of many, he was a man torn. I guess I was the only one who truly understood him, this man torn, thrown into his life by so many wailing winds, and I watched him fly.
I saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces. He was always such a good man. He was always such a strong, strong man. Yeah, I saw him go to
Hey, welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends, 4 past 8, 804-347-945-7040. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that was Brother Poetic Soul from Nooks, the Nips, Chocolate Nook. I always get that mixed up. And the name of that was He Never Dreamed, if I'm not mistaken. But poetry. And you know, I think that we all, they showed me and gave me the opportunity to share some poetry, which I don't know that I consider it to be poetry, but they got on to me for saying that. Anyway, they gave me an opportunity to share with them a few things that I had written, just a few things, and I just appreciate them. They're very accomplished individuals on Pow Talk, anyway. The Nips Chocolate Nook, I believe that's right. I'll make sure I get it right. I'll play. As a matter of fact, she'll tell you herself. I'll let her tell you what the name of her room is.
You're listening to The Next Phase with Black Ice and Friends. This is Chocolate Nip, host of Nip's Poetic Nook on PowTalk.com.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. Long life, longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land.
I cried, oh, 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 oh. but I'm still here. I'm still fighting. Oh, I'm still marching. Martin, I'm still living that dream. And I want you to know that folks will love you. And we still need you. We need to keep on leaning, keep on praying, keep on praying for us.
You gotta call on that something
in
that person that your daddy
call
used to
him.
Tell you about. That power that can make a way out of nowhere. But then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget. Oh, yes, I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. Yeah. Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I'm right. I think the cause that we represent is right. Lord, I must confess that I'm weak now, faltering, I'm losing my courage.
MART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse to addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for educational and community integration. SMART Incorporated. Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. Zip code 19081. Phone 484-905-2027. 484-905-2027. Fax 302-761-9019. You can also contact us at smart2change@yahoo.com.
14 past 8, 8:14 p.m. You're listening to the next phase with Ice and Friends. 347-945-7040. 347-945-7040 if you want to give us a call. And if you want to communicate with us with your fingers, just let your fingers do the walking at blakicz.1@gmail.com. blakicz.1@gmail.com. And I was strumming through Blog Talk Radio the other day, and I found this really nice program going on. And it's Lady Nancy Sellers O'Brien. And I wanted to mention her. As a matter of fact, I told her that I would, and she provided me with some information that I could share with you, which is the name of the program is What Happens on God, What Happens on God Said I Can Radio, God Said I Can Radio. And she has a beautiful testimony if you get a chance to listen to her. That's Nancy Sellers O'Brien and her husband. I think I communicated with them both in text. But they have a great thing going on. Here's a little bit about the information that she shared with me. We embrace the testimonies and accomplishments of every overcomer in the body of Christ. Revelation 12:11 says we are overcomers by the blood and our word of testimony. We are opportunists that give opportunity. And that was Miss Nancy Sellers O'Brien, and I appreciate you sharing that with me, Miss Sellers. O'Brien, Miss Sellers O'Brien. And also I got to mention the Truth Works Network. And I want to share something with you. I think the brother Alpha shared with me. And I also want to mention Truth Works Network. Always my tongue is tied up. And Miss Janice Graham doing an excellent job with the Truth, Our Common Ground with Janice Graham. And come to Blog Talk Radio. If you come to Blog Talk Radio, just type in the search block Janice, JanaceGraham, and I joined her site the other day, and I'm glad I did. I joined Nip's Nook, Nip's Poetic Nook. I joined it as well. But and they have a myriad of programs that are geared to things that you want to hear on corporate media. I mean, you know, corporate media is designed to support corporations. What we do over here is we support the little people because we are the little people. And it's a whole different echo chamber over here. You know, what we're talking about is uplifting each other, moving on past where we are, you know, looking at where we are, trying to make a determination as to how we can get past it, and then implementing that plan and supporting each other with a little support network. You know, to encourage rather than to discourage you in your endeavors as you pursue whatever it is your life goals and ambitions are. Anyway, Ms. Janice Graham with a myriad of super hosts over there, including my brother Alpha. And Alpha sent me some information that I'm going to share with you right now. And I hope you will appreciate this if I can get it to expand. Brother Alpha, dang it, how did I do this? He sent this to me and, there it is, okay, I got it. Brother Alpha shared with me, and I think it was shared with him, but he passed it on, and I'll pass it on to you. It's called Stroke Has a New Indicator Worth Reading. You know, with hypertension, high blood pressure, or sugar diabetes, stroke is something that is something that we on occasion have to deal with. As a matter of fact, God bless my uncle, who about a month, 3 months to a week, 3 weeks to a month ago. Let me say this, and since you don't know who my uncle is, and I'm going to tell you something. I got a call from my hometown, which I'm probably about 4.5 hours from my hometown where I was born. And we have a house that's been in our family for right close to probably 100 years. And this house was built not with, sheetrock. This house was with 2x4s of wood on each, both sides of that wood. My great-grandmother had it built years ago. And as a matter of fact, we got an oak tree in that yard, which my family is real small. But anyway, my uncle was living there in that house. And so this lady calls me, you know, a little old lady. She wasn't, you know, she's a few years older than me maybe, but she calls me, "Well, they found your uncle laying on the floor over there at the house." And I was like, you know, your heart just jumps up in your throat, right? And, you know, "He'd been laying there about 3 days." And I'm like, oh, man. And then she tells me, and they flew him to the hospital, so he's recovering. I'm like, oh, wow. you know, why didn't you tell me that at first? But anyway, he had been laying there 3 days, man. The old man hung in there. I hope I had that kind of willpower, not really willpower, but blessing. But he lived alone, and I didn't check on him every day, you know, every once in a while on occasion. But he lay there for 3 days. As a matter of fact, the policeman had to kick the door, and he had broken a window trying to make people aware that he was in there. So if you have relatives or friends or whatever, you know, kind of keep a check on them. You never know what can happen. Never know. And you know what? I found my mom myself. I found my mom. I came in and she was laying there and I was like, Mom, she didn't. That's the first time I ever called. She didn't answer. But, you know, I'm grateful that I found her. That would have been a hard call for me to listen to. But she lived alone also. And I, you know, I often wonder, had I gotten her one of those things you squeeze, you know, that thing you wear around your neck, or, you know, all kinds of things go through your mind. So, you know, I'm telling you what happened to me, so if you want to be a little bit proactive, I understand. But, yeah, I've been through so much of that in my life that I've come to realize that science won't do it for me. I have to have faith, and I, you know, have a higher power whom I choose to call God. A lot of people frown on that. I understand. I won't try to convert you to my form of belief if you don't try to coerce me to become a part of your faith. You know, I understand, and everybody has a faith that they believe in, and it's just a lot easier for me to live my life knowing that there's nothing that I can do except to do the best that I can with what I have, and let the rest of it take care of itself. But anyway, here's the thing that Brother Alpha sent me. It says, stroke has a new indicator, worth reading. They say if you email this to 10 people, you stand a chance of saving one life. We'll send this along. Will you send this along, he asked me. Blood clot, stroke, they now have a fourth indicator, the tongue. I will continue to forward this every time it comes around. Stroke, remember the first three letters, STR, stroke identification. During a barbecue, a woman stumbled and took a little fall. She assured everyone that she was fine. You know, have you ever seen that before? You know, a person, and people feel, you know, they don't want to embarrass themselves and say, you know, I'm feeling a little queasy, or, you know, they try to reassure everybody, oh, I'm fine. You know, they offered to call paramedics. She said, oh, she just tripped over a brick because of her new shoes, you know. And so it may be indicative that we should be a little bit more investigative about situations that we hear from our relatives or friends. And it says they got her cleaned up, got her a new plate of food. While she appeared to be a bit shaken up, Jane went about enjoying herself the rest of the evening, either enjoying herself or putting forth a good front, you know. Jane's husband called later, telling everyone that his wife had been taken to the hospital. At 6 p.m., Jane passed away. She had suffered a stroke at the barbecue. Had they known how to identify the signs of a stroke, perhaps Jane would be with us today. Some don't die. They end up in a helpless, hopeless condition instead. It only takes a minute to read this. A neurologist says that if he can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of a stroke. Totally. He said the trick was getting a stroke recognized, diagnosed, then getting the patient medically cared for within 3 hours, which is tough. Recognizing a stroke. Thank God for the senses to remember three steps, STR, read and learn. Sometimes symptoms of a stroke are difficult to identify. Unfortunately, the lack of awareness spells disaster. The stroke victim may suffer severe brain damage when people nearby fail to recognize the symptoms of a stroke. Now, doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking three simple questions. S, ask the individual to smile. T, ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently, i.e., it is sunny out today. R, ask him or her to raise both arms. Let me repeat that for you. Three simple things. STR, the first three letters in the word stroke. S, ask the individual to smile. T, Ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. An example, it is sunny out today. R, ask him or her to raise both arms. If he or she has trouble with any one of these tasks, call the emergency number immediately and describe the symptoms to the dispatcher. New signs of a stroke, stick out your tongue. Note, another sign of a stroke is this. Ask the person to stick out his tongue. If the tongue is crooked, if it goes to one side or the other, is also an indication of a stroke. A cardiologist says if everyone who gets this email sends it to 10 people, you can bet that at least one life will be saved. I've done my part. Will you? And if you want this email from me, I won't give out Brother Alfo's email address, but I'll give you my email address. If I can send this to you, if you want to hear about it, give me a shout at blakicz.1@gmail.com. blakicz.1@gmail.com. And that was from Brother Alfo. And Brother Alfo, by the way, is on Saturdays, and also, I don't have that schedule. But look up Alfo. Just go to the Blog Talk search bar, type in A, capital A, capital L, A-L-F-O, capital F, capital O, Alfo, and it'll give you all the pertinent, relevant information that you need to find Brother Alfo's show. Brother Alfo is very entertaining, as well as he has a very common sense approach to politics and any number of other topics, and he's associated and part of the Our Common Ground, the group, the Truth Networks group, TruthWorks Network, who Miss Janice Graham is associated with, and I cannot find enough words to describe my appreciation for even having met these wonderful individuals, as well as, let me start off, because I have about 3 minutes left, and I'm going to try to get through as many of my wonderful friends that I've met on Blog Talk as possible. Sister Indy declared daily at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and India, I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, I believe it's I declare now, I-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, but I know that you can find it. I feel comfortable. I-N-D-I-A-D-E-C-L-A-I-R, India Declare, on 10 a.m. on daily, Monday through Friday. And her show is exciting, and it is very informative and explosive. Sister Navazor, Sister Navazor 1, she's on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and she has a wonderful show. Her show is self-help and very laid-back. She's telling me 90 seconds in my ear. Miss Janice Graham, Our Common Ground, Saturdays, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central Standard Saturdays. Janice Graham, OurCommonGround.com, and Brother Alfo. Alfo's show is 2 p.m. Saturdays. And Miss Quiet Storm, don't you let that show slip past you. Miss Quiet Storm, put her in the search block, MSQUIETSTORM, Miss Quiet Storm. Dr. Reba Haley, R-E-B-A, Haley, Haley, H-A-L-E-Y. Love Productions Incorporated, Nikki Love, beautiful show, loved her show, enjoyed it, had a good time. Harlem Talk Radio, H-A-R-L-E-M, Harlem Talk Radio. And there are several other shows, and we'll be bringing those to your attention as time goes on. Appreciate you joining us. Thank you for sticking around with us. And we'd like to invite you to stop by anytime. Give us a call at 347-945-7040. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends. I'm Black Ice saying to you, you can contact me at blakicz.1@gmail.com, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next Thursday, hopefully, if we get a chance to be here. Got a chance to get through this new, wonderful board with Blog Talk Radio. Take care. God bless. Have a good one, and have a wonderful, say, blessed, joyous, and a wonderful 4th of July. And remember, all men are created equal.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar board, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw us disregard a broken bottle top and what meant so.
Make a change. It's gonna feel real good. Some more change.